There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away. So it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
What's up, y'all? I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler, and this is another Big Buck Breakdown from the Element Podcast.
Brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. All right, now on the show, we have got Byron Horton with Whitetail Experience and Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Byron, what is happening in your neck of the woods, man?
Man, it is a busy time of year. I'm trying to get to a few states to fill a second tag, but man, November is here full force.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, dude, we're right there with you. We've been way down here south in Texas, honestly, and it doesn't feel like November, but deer are kind of doing November stuff, man, so it makes this time of year super exciting.
Oh, yeah, and I saw through my Instagram feed this morning, somebody put down a pretty nice Texas public buck, if I do recall.
Yeah, that might have happened. Oh, Tyler, what do you got to say about that?
Just whistling inwardly.
Yeah,
you
man.
Like that? I teed it up. I'm a pretty good guest here on the podcast.
You are, man. That,
right? I know, dude. Well, we're supposed to make this about you, not us, dude. But we all just kill us around here, so it's all good, dude.
Baby.
That's why we're here to talk to you. You actually picked the fruits of November a little early this year. Right? Mm. What we're here to talk about is your really studly Ohio public land buck that was an October buck, right?
It was. It was a late October buck. I'm starting to like that period more and more. It was pretty cool experience. And I found success now twice in the last 3 years, late October. So maybe I need to be burning my vacation time then.
Ooh, it was going to be tough to do, but I hear you got the full whitetail experience there, as you were saying, the experience. But
punny.
Dude, I know, dude.
So
you
funny.
Got to tee him up, like he was saying. But that's cool, man. It's cool that you're kind of seeing that shift. You know, we've had some success in that time period. Not really so much where we live, because we're a couple weeks behind. But, you know, definitely when you're pushing into the Midwest, it seems like, man, the deer are rocking and rolling that time of year. So tell us a little bit about this hunt, man. It's public land, is that right?
Yeah, so this particular hunt is kind of like we'll call it a woods type habitat. It's an area. I don't want to give any counties away or specifics, but
do not.
As far as south to eastern Ohio, you get into some big woods habitats, a little bit more similar to, say, like West Virginia, North Kentucky kind of stuff, where you don't have necessarily ag. And this particular area, you know, is just it's big woods. So it's a different ballgame than some of the agriculture that I hunt. And, I'd actually scouted it the year prior. I put boots to ground, saw some good, you know, better buck sign. Like the habitat breakup in this particular kind of piece. It had good, good clear cuts, good diversity, a couple like edges that you can't really see from aerials. that are kind of in the understory where you could tell like some different changes happened. And I just liked it, man. I thought it was tougher to access in a few areas. And you know, those are starting to hit the check boxes to find these better bucks on public land.
Yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. And you're just talking about some stuff. I feel like we're all kindred spirits, man. Like, y'all are doing the same kind of stuff that we do, and you're talking about the same kind of stuff where there's things you can see from an aerial that everybody's going to pick out. But if you go in there and do the work, you can find these things that you just cannot look at on a map and tell. That's freaking awesome.
We just had that conversation here. You know, you're talking about the Texas public land deal, and KC and I were talking a lot about, like, you know, seeing things on the map that you can't really depict from the aerial, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, learning your habitat and being able to see it with your eyes sometimes leads you to find different things on that map when you relook at the aerial after you arrive somewhere, you know? So it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big believer as far as boots on the ground in the winter. I believe, like, if you look at just some of the bucks I've killed, I think a lot of that boot work is – the boot work from, we'll call it December to March, is what killed those deer. You know, just because it gives me those blueprints of those areas. And then it's just about in-season decision-making after that.
Sure.
Yeah. So what did you end up targeting on to find this buck?
So this area, okay, like I said, I put boots to ground in the winter. Rolling into late summer, I stashed some trail cams in the surrounding system. In this particular area where I ended up harvesting this buck, I had I called him the G28, and he was kind of regular, and then he had a few other deer on this like trail cam that was happened to be on a scrape, actually. And you know, these deer were just checking on it in the summer. Every month-ish, you know, they pop in and hit this scrape. You know, nothing like that. Nothing like an October hit. But, like, you know, they pass by it. They kind of, you know, mess with the looking branches and move about. And I hunted this area early October because there's some oaks in there. And obviously the scrape wasn't really opened up that I'd had trail cam pics of. But I saw some does, and an encouraging hunt. Didn't poke around too much. But I kind of had this area in mind based on the fact that I had a few bucks that were now hard-horned in the area that I would shoot, and two bucks in particular that seemed to be close by, frequenting the scrape on a more regular basis, which was the buck I shot, and this, we'll call him the G28 because he kind of had a bladed big G2. So I actually continued to kind of scout mid-October on a couple other pieces, just kind of looking for a giant. Not that these deer are bad deer by any standards, but I was doing my due diligence to scout out a few pieces that can hold some giants. And
absolutely
didn't really find anything. And at this point we are now late October, October 22nd ish. And Ohio got hit with like a rainstorm that was like 24 hours essentially, where we had a front come through, a little bit of a temp drop, and the rain just, you know, kind of a slow, long, drizzly rain. And it was going to let up at roughly 2 o'clock-ish on the 22nd. And so I had kind of aligned my schedule and told the boss I was going to burn some PTO. With full intentions of hunting that scrape that I'd run these trail cams on through the summer.
For us, it's the same deal on Texas Public. You know, we have to have good data, and we have to have a camera that has a super good trigger speed. So we've been using Exodus trail cameras the last few years to get deer on these trails that are moving. They're not on ag and food sources. So we have to get a quick trigger speed and a picture of these deer to help put patterns to them and to get them killed. So make sure and go check out ExodusOutdoorGear.com.
So I get in there late that evening, or not late, but on time, but evening hunt. And I get to the scrape, and I'd kind of done this big J hook to get in there to kind of have better access, more wind in my face type access. And I could not tell if the scrape had been opened up. And, you know, I felt like I had wasted a hunt about six days prior to this, where I had trusted like year over year trail cam data and didn't really trust my scouting. And so I'm sitting there at the base of this tree that I was going to hunt, put my stick on, you know, started to kind of set my stand and stuff. And then I kind of decided, you know what, I'm a scout on, because I believed all these bucks were bedded to the north. And so I knew I had a little bit of wiggle room. I said, I'm gonna scout forward, kind of looking for better buck sign, because obviously with this rain stopping, my biggest thought is I wanted to be on a scrape that was active, that bucks were hitting on a regular basis. Because that's a perfect combination. Late October, rain front quitting, a little bit of a temp drop, nothing crazy that day. You know, I just felt like that was the play of the day.
Yeah.
So I packed back up, and at this point I proceeded to head north, and I only went about 60 to maybe 80 yards, nothing too far. And in that time period, I passed two scrapes, or not scrapes, I passed two rubs. One was better height, like it was starting to get above the belly button. Nothing hammered rubs, but I saw those two, and so my confidence is now elevating. I can tell there's a pretty good worn trail cutting around this edge that seems to, you know, just be funneling deer. And then I find a beech tree, which is a popular tree for scrapes here in Ohio, and from what I've seen in a few other states as well. And there are two beech ball round scrapes, clearly fresh as can be. So I thought, okay, this must be the scrape that is active, that hopefully a couple of these bucks from trail cam are working on. Quickly assessed and realized, like, the best tree to hunt in is literally 7 yards from the scrape, and it's going to be a low sit. It's going to be in a one stick high, like literally 3 foot off the ground. Not even sure I needed a stick to get in the tree stand. But, you know, it's like next to a bunch of beech trees, so those all still have their leaves. And so I've got like a mini like tree fortress kind of behind me. So I got a lot of cover, but it's literally going to be 7 yards off the scrape, and I can shoot one other main trail. So I'm not trying to hog a bunch, but this is kind of the game I'm going to play tonight, is what I decided. And sure enough, I hadn't been there long, maybe 40 minutes. And again, I'd set my camera facing the scrape. I had the bow set, so I didn't have much movement to get to it. And I'm watching the scrape probably 90% of this hunt at this point. Standing in my tree stand, kind of facing the scrape. And sure enough, 12 yards, the first thing I'll remember is this deer's black eyebrow or eyeballs and kind of a wider type rack.
Ooh.
Mm.
You know, I don't have a lot of like pre-roll, if you will, in the video. Like, yeah. It's a bang-bang type situation.
Yeah.
So at this point he is 12 yards. I look at his brows and I see he's a water rack. And at this point the check box is sent, like shooting this deer if I can get to full draw.
Yeah.
So he comes into the scrape and I get my hand on the bow. The camera is on and he's kind of facing me and starts to work the licking branches. And my only thought in my head is, if I can get the full draw, I can kill this deer. I can at least get the shot off. It's just going to matter if he sees the movement of getting to draw. And at this point, like I said, he's 7 yards. So I actually get the full draw, and he works the licking branches again, and now he even turns like broadside. I'm like, this couldn't be any better. I tried to stay coherent in the shot. Like, I do remember taking an extra second on release, but at this distance, and I don't shoot a lighted knot, I've had some broadhead tuning issues before, and my bow was shooting so good, I just didn't want to mess with those this year. And I let it rip, and he actually tucks his ass and runs 30 yards, pauses for, we'll call it 5-10 seconds, and then kind of just bounds away willy-nilly. Kind of like they do, like they realize something's not right.
Yeah.
So naturally, like obviously, I got the big adrenaline dump. I'm trying to gather myself my thoughts. It is still kind of drizzly rainy, which is never a good situation for like a blood trail situation. And so I kind of am sitting there, and obviously after I'm done freaking out, I'm like, okay, what's the best call here? And so I actually jump out the tree stand. I didn't even like take the stick. I jump out the tree stand and I run over to the arrow, and it's, you know, it's covered in blood, good red, bright blood.
Good.
And buried in the ground. Like, I shoot the day six ones. I know you guys shoot those, and yep, you tend to get a lot of good pass-throughs. And shooting low like that, you know, I got a good trajectory as far as killing, you know, going through both vitals and all that. And I'm like, okay, this arrow looks good. Let me run and get signal, because at this particular piece of public, like, I don't have signal. So I'm going to call my buddy Dave, and I'm sure you guys do the same thing. It's always good to kind of get on the phone with your hunting buddy. You got to have a little mini council meeting of what's the best decision.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Dude. Yeah, I mean, we do it even when we don't choose them. You know, it's just like, hey, man, what tree should I hang in? You know?
Yeah, what would you do here?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, guys who don't have hunting buddies are really missing out on that. I really mean that, you know? Like, it's a huge mm-hmm. part of it for us. Like, if you're a critical thinker and you have a friend who's a critical thinker, man, you can really get some work done that way.
Yeah, I would agree. A good hunting buddy, and especially if they want to do it at the kind of the similar level, similar style, like,
yeah,
it's a game changer. And it only elevates your bow hunting,
mm-hmm.
Just because they bounce ideas. They maybe find something good with gear. It's just, yeah, bottom line, I don't want to. We'll stay on the buck story.
Yeah, but, I get it.
I'm full send on a good hunting buddy. But so I called Dave. And we eventually decide, okay, go in there with 30-ish minutes of daylight and just get kind of a general direction, because I'm a little bit colorblind. Like, I do have trouble seeing some of the reds and oranges. And obviously, it's a rainy, drizzly type evening this day. And so I get back in there, and I follow the blood trail. And it's okay. Like, it's not the best for the first 30 yards.
Yeah.
But I'm not too discouraged, because, dude, I literally heart shot a doe like a couple days earlier than this and didn't have hardly any blood, and she only ran 60 yards. So, like, I'm not, like, I don't trust blood trails all that much until I can really start to assess what's going on. So I follow the blood trail 30 yards, and I'm not loving it, but from 30 yards to about, let's say, here, the next 50, so total blood trail 80 yards at this point. Like, from 30 yards to the next 50, it's looking pretty good. Like, I can tell it's kind of potentially both sides of him, and it's more blood, it's brighter red blood, which I didn't know if maybe some of the water in the you know, the rain was making it look brighter than what it truly was. But, you know, a decent amount coming out, so I'm feeling a little more confident, and he's kind of going downhill.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I get to a point where I can't find any more blood, and it's dark at this point. And so I go ahead and put an arrow, you know, at last blood, mark it on my maps, and head back kind of to the truck to essentially, because Dave told me he was coming. He yelled at me because, you know, I tend to only shoot bucks on weeknights when he's got to work the next day. So he ended up driving down. And bottom line, him and Andy and myself, we kind of do, like, we get to last blood, we find one more area that there was blood on the ground about 10 yards away from last blood, and that's all we find. And so we spend the next, we'll call it 45 minutes, going about 30 to 40 yards past this, just trying to get one more drop of blood to get direction, because we realize if we even get one pinprick of blood, we can kind of determine A to B of where this buck would be going. And given the conditions of all the rain, it starts getting like foggy at night, because it's like a warmer night. Like, it's it is not favorable blood tracking conditions at this point. Dark, rainy in general. Now we've got fog. I mean, it is just, there was probably 100 F-bombs you shouted through the timber that night.
Oh, gosh.
thinking I just missed a buck at 7 yards, or didn't put a good shot on him at 7 yards. Like, you know, mentally as a bow hunter, you're just like, man, if you can't shoot him at that range, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, long story short, I drive down the next day. I start doing a grid search, you know, marking my tracking progress on my maps. And if you take a clock of where this deer was headed, like I said, he was headed downhill. And so I was like, okay, if he's running from 6 o'clock to the middle of the hands, he's probably going to go to noon, right? Like, a straight arrow. So I grid that whole area out about 30, 40 minutes, nothing. And so I said, okay, I come back to arrow, and I start kind of working a military crest away from the arrow, as if maybe he did a J-hug. And so I'm 50, 80 yards down from the arrow, and I look up the hill,
and I can see a round butt of a deer. And I'm like, no way. And I start climbing the hillside thinking, oh, that's got to be him. Hopefully that's him. Because he had fallen with his front rack behind two trees, actually.
Oh.
I ended up, you know, climbing this hill. And until I was about 30, 40 yards away, the next two was a bigger body deer. I kind of then emotionally said, yep, this is him, 100%. Found him, like, just jacked. And realistically, the deer only ran about, you know, 200 yards from impact.
Yeah.
And we were probably 60-ish yards from him the night before and just couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, at that point, I had a sleepless night. I literally watched the footage of the shot 100 different times, sent it to 3 or 4 people. You know, you're importing it and exporting it to buddies and sending it to your phone, slowing it down, pausing frame by frame. Like, you're trying to throw effects in there too, to like, maybe you can catch like a fletching if you change the color situation. Like, you know, it's just one of those things that was just not the most fun 12-hour sleepless night.
One of the most frustrating things that you can deal with while out in the woods is having that release that's in your way when you're trying to do so many different things to set up yourself for hunting or to get to and from the truck. Well, I really love the feature that Cobra Archery has on their releases, where they have this fold-back system. It's kind of like on a cam, to where instead of that release flopping around on your wrist, you fold it back, it lays directly flat against your forearm and gets out of your way completely, so that you can do whatever task you need to do and then get back and concentrate on hunting deer or elk or whatever it is that you're pursuing. So if you're interested in Cobra releases, go check out CobraArchery.com.
So yeah, found him. I was jacked, cloud nine. You know, I tend to get very animated when a good thing comes together. Hell, if I find a shed, I might do a backflip.
I hear you, dude. That's an awesome story, and it's got a lot of intricate details to it. And I too am a member of the One Stick Club. I think Tyler is as well. You know, a lot of times on public land, it's not, you know, 20-foot high looking down. You know, it's a lot of times it's close combat. You know, just tight quarters, and I know exactly what you're talking about there. But one of the things that I found is that whenever you're hunting kind of lower like that, or even from the ground, exactly like what you're saying, there's the blood trail isn't always the greatest, because a lot of times you're not hitting that deer on like, or you're not getting an exit that's down low where blood can pour out. You know, so you're kind of struggling with that. So I understand what you're dealing with there. Do you feel like that you, what am I trying to say? Did we lose you? You there?
No, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, the phone made a weird noise. Is that the tree that you'd go back and set up in right there, tight like that, or do you feel like you'd rather be further back from that deer, kind of after that long experience?
So I've killed a few deer low now, and I love like the shot angles low, and I love like it's easy to set up, it's easy to tear down.
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah, like I've got a bow holder, like a third arm bow holder on my stand. Like, and the other day I was hunting, and anytime you hunt like just two sticks, I can reach up and wedge it into that bow holder and not even need a tow rope, you know, to get up into my stand, because my bow, I can literally, you know, put it upside down essentially in that bow holder, climb up to my stand, and then, you know, set it in there the rest of the way. It's, you know, it's one of those things. I am starting to like and hunting low, because also too, like with the public land thing, a lot of guys, at least especially like I feel like in ag country, it may be true in clear cutty type habitats, they see those small trees or stuff you can only hunt low, and they think, oh, I'm not gonna deer hunt like
yeah.
that.
So
I am finding myself more and more comfortable and confident to hunt in those low sets.
Yeah, we've been hunting low sets forever, just because for many reasons, but like a lot of times, man, in that like river bottom country, it's just, you know,
yeah,
ash trees and elm trees and, you know, hackberry and locust, and it's just like, you if you don't hunt low, you won't be able to see through there, you won't be able to get shots. Literally, if we hang higher than 8 foot sometimes, we have no shots further than 5 yards, you know. And so just kind of gotta do it sometimes. Your story sounds so much to me like basically the Illinois buck that I killed, which I think I killed within about a 24-hour period of when you killed yours somewhere in there. Yeah, probably on the same front.
I filmed the other day. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, it was, you know, it was incredible night, man. You know, same thing, hunting a scrape, had to set up 13 yards. That was this, you know, I wanted to be able to shoot scrape. So I the best way I could do that, the only way I could do that and be in decent range was 13 yards. And so I set up on that. Same thing happened. I shoot the deer at 8 yards. So I had a slightly tougher shot than you did, just to be honest. I didn't, you know, it was getting kind of dark. It was real overcast and the deer was in some brush and I just, the arrow disappeared when it went down into the brush. So I had no clue. I did think I missed him, you know? And so, same deal happened. We get back to the truck, it rains and we're like, oh, this is just a terrible opportunity, you know, to blood track. And so we did get in there. It didn't rain long enough to wash the blood away and it was a lot of blood and he wasn't very far, but you know, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now have watched this. So I'm just kind of recapping it, but, you know, being that it's in that, like, you know, early to mid October 20s days that you and I both killed, and you've talked about in the beginning that late October is something that you're willing to take off work for at this point, possibly. Mm-hmm. What, explain a little bit more about why you like that particular time period so much.
Yeah, so, you know, to hunt during the week, it requires PTO that time of year, or time off, or maybe you got to have a special job that you get off, you know, pretty early just due to the daylight. I also live in Ohio, so that is probably the number one out-of-state big buck state as far as the people travel to. Mm-hmm. I mean, cost of entry, location to the East Coast. So I get a lot of out-of-state pressure, and all that out-of-state pressure begins November 1, or let's say 90% of it begins November 1, it seems like. So if I can kill a buck in my home state here late October, I'm avoiding a lot of pressure that way. Also, you know, like I talked about this in a YouTube video I did. I like it because if you can scout your way in, because the buck sign's there, you know, it's been laid down. They're not necessarily running behind a doe's butt, you know, 3 miles away from where they laid the sign down because, you know, the does aren't super hot. And it just seems like you can do a lot of these scout your way type, like scout your way in type hunts, and you're getting a scout in and you're getting a hunt in. And, you know, it's a magical time of year, especially obviously with scrapes. And those bucks just tend to start to move in that daylight. And so I think if you're somebody that kind of has done some homework, I think that's a huge factor in all this, because the 10th through the 20th, I don't think I sat in a tree stand. I spent all my time scouting.
Yeah,
man, that's a good tip there, man. It sounds like you've got something figured out, dude. And I know you do, because you freaking just went in there and had a plan and made it happen.
Executed, bro.
Dude, that's what it takes, man, and that's freaking awesome. And way to go, dude. Great buck. And if I'm not mistaken, Ohio's a one-buck state. Is that right?
That is correct. So, yeah, I literally got up yesterday at 1:30 in the morning. I hunted Kentucky for the morning half. And I do have an Illinois tag, too.
Man, that's a pretty good little state, too. So that's your plan for November, I guess, from here on, is to kind of hit the surrounding states, right?
Yeah, so my wife and I, we've got a baby boy of 4 months. So obviously,
congrats, man.
Yeah. So the whole juggling the family dad life, it's like, if I can get away for a morning, you know, just based on she gives me the green light, then I'll go to Kentucky. But if I can get away for maybe a full day or a day and a half or longer, I'll go to Illinois. Just, I mean, that's just a bigger buck state. I've also got some access to some good ground out there that does hold giants. It's a good piece. Kentucky's going to be a public land adventure that I've kind of started hunting here in 2020. So that's the plan for the rest of the year, is try and get a second one, and it's kind of when time allows, and that's the plan.
Yeah, dude, awesome stuff. Well, I hope you are able to put that second plan together, because I think you can, man. First of all, it's a magical month. Second of all, you're a killer. So you put those two things together, you got something going on. If people want to hear more from you or see what you got going on, what's the best place to send them?
Yeah, I would send them to either our YouTube channel or just our social media accounts. I think it's
don't get me wrong. Like, I think it's very similar to what you guys do. Obviously, we live in Ohio, so it's probably centralized information around, like, hunting the Buckeye State, public land focus.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff.
You know, it's definitely trying to do it right. Like, guys like yourself, I really respect what you guys do, and I actually love some of the films, man. I tell you what, that you guys are guys I try to aspire to be. So.
Oh, don't go that way. No, let me just discourage you.
No. No, dude, I think it was one of your Kansas bow hunts. The recovery scene was shot. It was just so good. I sent it to the guys. I said, you got to watch this film.
Dude,
hey, man. Well,
appreciate it. That so, yeah, actually that, was the
I'm blushing.
That's the first hunt I ever filmed, so I'll take that compliment, man. Thank you very much. Hey, dude, right back at you. Y'all do some cool stuff, and it, like we said earlier in the podcast, it's kind of like we're kindred spirits, and I think that we all kind of have the same passion and like to hunt kind of the same ways, you know, kind of the getting after it way of doing stuff. So I think that anybody who's a listener to us can definitely go check out Whitetail Experience and see what y'all have going on. You know, maybe if someone's a little bit more of a Midwesterner or aspires to hunt up there, they can learn a lot from y'all. So, man, thanks for coming on and sharing your story with us, dude. It's freaking awesome, and I hope that we get to hear another Big Buck story soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, guys. That's what I'm hoping for. And best of luck to you guys on the remainder of the season. And congrats on the early start here in 2020, knocking them down.
Thanks,
awesome.
Dude.
Appreciate it, dude. Man, what an awesome story about a big buck. Guys, we want to say a big thanks to Exodus Trail Cameras and Cobra Archery for being a part of this Big Buck Breakdown.
For sure, man. And also, if you want to check out what we do on a daily basis, maybe even see some of these big bucks, go to Instagram and follow us at The Element Wild. And then also subscribe on YouTube to keep up with what we're doing throughout the season. And subscribe on the podcast. And remember, this is your element.
Living it.
I'll swim across and meet you on the other side. I'm not sure why we even have to fight. Caused a lot of frustration. Brothers, let's forgive and forget.
You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.